This is an ABC podcast.
G'day there, my name's Matt Brand. I'm the host of the NT Country Hour. Now, if you've been driving along major roads in the top end over the last couple of months, I wonder if you've seen it. Bits of cotton scattered along the sides of the road. For weeks now, here at the Country Hour, we've been getting text messages from you about this roadside cotton. Texts like this one from Paul in Humpty Doo, who says, "Matt, I passed two trucks heading south near Katherine the other day carrying bales of cotton. Cotton remnants were blowing everywhere. Will the producers and the transport companies be accountable for all of the wild cotton that will sprout up during the wet season?" said Paul. And just on Friday, we got a text from Steve near Katherine who said, "Matt, the cotton seed that's all down the highway will grow and it will become a weed because it's pest and herbicide resistant. And who will be responsible in controlling it?" said Steve. As I said, we've been getting lots of text messages from people who are concerned or maybe just wondering if this cotton on the side of the road can germinate and become a weed. So let's hear from someone who's an expert on this topic. I spoke to Rowena Eastick, who is a weed scientist and the author of the research paper that's called "The Potential Weediness of Transgenic Cotton in Northern Australia." She spoke to me about all of the work that's been done on this topic.
So that cotton weediness project done really in the early 2000s, so over 20 years ago, and it's quite ironic to be doing the circle back again. That was in response really to regulatory demands that we needed to show that cotton, if we put these genes in as part of genetically modified cotton, was not then going to become a weed in our northern habitats. Because as cotton is a plant, like Gossypium hirsutum, it's actually adapted to the sort of semi-arid tropics. So if we put this gene in for tolerance to insects or even Roundup, was it going to take over our natural systems?
And so tell us about the work and the experiments that you did as part of that.
So I suppose we looked at all aspects of how cotton... So firstly, cotton per se, whether that was a weed, and you just look at, you know, does it invade habitats? And, you know, there's plenty of naturalised populations in the top end. If you, anyone that, pig hunters on the Adelaide River floodplain, people walking Casuarina Coastal Reserve, Roper River, there's some big cotton plants, small populations that have been there for decades, and they've, you know, haven't overtaken those habitats. But then the question, well, if we put a gene in there, will it take over? Mm. So, and cotton, you know, it comes in a few different forms, but the stuff I suppose most of us might be seeing along the highway at the moment and around Douglas Daly, this white fluffy stuff, that's actually called seed cotton, and that's where the lint comes off that cotton and makes your genes. And the lovely King G shirt you got on today, Matt.
Yeah, and those populations that you mentioned that we see in the top end, where do they originate from?
So as far as I can work out, some of those, because a lot of them are associated with coastline, so say the old Port Essington, you know, when they tried to set up communities and small market gardens in some of these coastal small communities around the top end. So yeah, as far as I can work out, and say Adelaide River, when we tried to, you know, grow cotton originally, that you might have these, you know, small populations that persist.
I'll take us back to the experiments. I don't think we got sense from you about what you did.
Yeah. Oh, so, and I suppose with the experiments, it was, you know, we looked at where do we see cotton, and big thing, you know, we see it on the roadside, this white fluffy stuff. Cotton seed is actually a really valuable feed for cattle as well, like good protein, oil. So after we take the lint off to make into our clothes, the seed that's left is actually good cotton, is good cattle feed. So we looked at cattle habitats as well, like yards where we might feed out cotton to see how it goes. And along drains, you know, the top end, most of ours would be overhead irrigation. But areas like we looked at cotton in around Katherine, Broome and Kununurra, that they were cited as going to be cotton growing areas. And those other areas along drains, you know, that's been shown as you'll see, you know, cotton established along drains. Great habitat for it, you know, it's got water that keeps coming, you know, lack of competition because we generally try and keep the drains clean of other vegetation.
Yeah. And so through those experiments, what did you find?
So the seed cotton, which is white fluffy stuff you might see on the roadside, That's actually a really hard environment for a little cotton seed that's in the middle of that white fluffy stuff to then, it might even germinate if all the ducts line up, that, you know, and the little leaf tries to spring it through that cotton, and a lot of the time that might snap. And then the root actually can't penetrate through that cotton either to then get seed-soil contact. And that's presuming that you got a nice little bit of rain and then it germinated and then you get some nice follow-up rain and then it didn't dry out and then you didn't get insects eating it within the bowl. You didn't get fire coming through. So you've really got a lot of ducts to line up to even get one of those seeds to germinate. And then from that, if it germinates, that big question about invasiveness, you might see plants come up this year. Is that going to lead to a population that's going to keep increasing and invade into habitats? And we didn't find that any populations continually increase and take over these natural habitats.
And is that just because getting the ducks to line up year after year is almost impossible?
Just there's so many factors that will influence whether that cotton seed will germinate in the first place. You know, and that's... Now, we're seeing lots of white fluffy stuff on the roadside at the moment.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, it's been sitting there now. You know, the commercial growers finished harvest. It was getting, you know, trucked to the gins in Queensland. That it's been sitting there now for quite a long time in the dry season. So even previously when we looked at it, we might have harvested closer to the wet season. So it might have only been sitting there for a couple of weeks and then it gets rain. Where now it's actually got to persist in a pretty harsh environment, say on the roadside or whatever. And then insects actually quite like it. You know, that trick that if it does germinate from a rain, that then you still get follow-up rain and that it can establish. So, you know, it's a really hard environment for it. And the same, if we do get one, and I've got no doubt we'll, you know, we might see some odd plant popping up along the highway or the, you know, the Dorat Road or some of the Douglas Road. Mm. But for then, that will grow cotton. And we've bred this plant to have lots of white fluffy stuff. That's why we grow it. And the white
so that it yields lots of
the lint. And so, but the lint is actually a negative for the subsequent seed germination. When we plant cotton, we've taken all that lint off so that we've just left with what's called black seed that's got no lint, so it obviously germinates. And so we've bred it for yield, but then we've effectively bred out its ability to germinate easily.
So for those who text into the Country Hour with concerns that what they see on the side of the road could result in a new weed threat for the Northern Territory, what do you tell them?
Yeah, I don't think that it's going to be a weed. And all the work that we've done previously, they did similar work in Queensland as well. Great job. I would love the job. They just drove between Emerald and Atherton over all the Queensland roads and looked for, you know, cotton that had come up. They had no populations that persisted. And the same with the populations. I planted some out. You know, I'd plant them in next to a drain, in cattle yards. I planted some in the bush. So that risk of it firstly germinating and then establishing into a population that's going to, you know, get these thick, keep invading, keep having population growth, which is, you know, definition of invasiveness. You know, by the time you get predation, you know, wet drying, wet season, dry season, fire coming in, you know, slashing on the roadsides. We also apply herbicides on the roadsides for visibility and for weed control, and not just Roundup, which, you know, if you had Roundup ready, it's, you know, got a fitness. But we do use residual herbicides as well. So, geez, the risk is extremely, extremely low. And I think it's a really interesting plant. I used to take it to show and tell and show the kids, this is where your clothes come from.
And from all your time working with cotton, how unusual is it for farmers here in the Territory not to be tarping the trucks for transport?
So tarping, I understand, is a big additional cost. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they've got to get their OHS issues. Like, it's actually quite high when you're up tarping trucks. So Queensland similarly did work as well on for tarping from a biosecurity risk. So you're actually from, say, disease spread. You don't want naturalised cotton also establishing, because then it becomes a little harbour for development of resistance against these genes. So the cotton industry's got a really rigorous strategy to prevent development of resistance against these genes, you know, so which are these little caterpillars, Helicoverpa, that go in. So we don't want these little caterpillars to be exposed to this gene for 12 months of the year, essentially, or to these feral populations. So from a biosecurity...
Otherwise, all that science and all that, opportunity gets lost.
Yeah, that it sort of it jeopardises the benefits that we get from GM, from GMO. So tarping, I think looking at some way that you can contain the lint, you know, whether you want to say, I don't think it's a weed risk, full stop, but aesthetics, as I said, Matt, if I kept postponing this interview, another 3 months, we wouldn't see that fluffy cotton on the side of the road. By the time you get, red dirt washing on it, we won't see it. But, tarping, that'll be something for industry. And I know from a weed scientist, we looked at tarping as options for even for hay, stop... And even if it's not a declared weed, people don't necessarily like seeing even cavalcade, which is not a declared weed, but coming up as a plant where it shouldn't be on a drain line, outside a cropping habitat.
Thanks for your expertise today. Really appreciate it.
As always, Matt, a pleasure.
That is Rowena Eastick, who is a weed scientist and the author of The Potential Weediness of Transgenic Cotton in Northern Australia. That research paper is available publicly online if you're interested. So cotton on the side of the road. As Rowena told us, we might see the odd plant popping up, but from there, the research has found that it is not an invasive weed risk. Now to this other question, of should territory cotton growers be tarping the cotton trucks better to stop cotton from flying off the modules and onto the road? Well, Max Rowley put this to David Connolly, who is the chairman of the WANT Cotton Growers Consortium.
There's no requirement in Australia for cotton to be covered. Cotton is covered in the process of making modules out of it. So when it's picked in the paddock, it is that the middles of them are covered in plastic, but the ends of them are not. It's very, very difficult to tarp loads of cotton because you have to put people on top of the loads, which is dangerous because they're slipping on the plastic that's around the cotton already. However, the Northern Territory cotton growers and the Northern and the gin that will be built up here are making assertions with their growers that we want to have our loads covered. We've developed a trailer. We haven't developed a trailer, but a trailer has been developed that can hold the cotton and have a curtain side effect down the side of it to try and stop cotton blowing off on the side. This is a new thing for people in the Northern Territory to see cotton on the side of the road. It's very much a commonplace thing in the south where cotton is growing and people ignore it for what it is. Given that cotton is a plant, just like hay that gets carted along the sides of the road, Max, there's plenty of hay blows off trucks, blows onto the side of the road that nobody seems to worry about. Cotton is a plant. It'll blow onto the side of the road and it'll break down into the soil like plants do. This is not plastic. Nobody seems to be making calls for the green cans and the yellow cans and the plastic and the boxes and the cardboard and the rubbish that gets thrown out of cars on the side of the road. So I must say I am a little bit amused to hear about people whinging about a plant lying on the side of the road, but I'm not hearing much about people whinging about all the rubbish that gets thrown out of cars on the side of the road. Be that as it may, the cotton industry in the north is taking up development of a curtain side trailer that will cover the load. Now, it's not a requirement in the industry, but it's something that the Northern Territory is going outside the boundaries of to try and achieve.
David Connolly, who's the chair of the WANT Cotton Growers Consortium. He's based out at Tipperary Station. Looks like the industry getting ready to adopt some trailer innovation to address these public concerns about cotton on the side of the road. To everyone who has texted into the Country Hour over the last few weeks and months, I hope the coverage today has answered some of your questions. That research paper by Rowena Eastick, The Potential Weediness of Transgenic Cotton in Northern Australia. That's available publicly as well if you're interested.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.